Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm your host today, Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here together with my co-host. Today we're introducing a new program segment that we'll be planning to feature on a regular basis. We call it the Community Service Appreciation Program, and we see it as an important part of our mission. Kay, you've been the producer of the Community Service Appreciation Program, so why don't you tell us about it?
Well, as you said, the Community Service Appreciation Program is a new program for KHOI's listeners that will definitely advance. Community service organizations in Ames and surrounding communities. There are many nonprofit organizations that do so much in housing, help with legal advice, with food, transport, clothing, with issues of mental health, with so many things. KHOI will help get the word out about these different services. And each month, we'll feature a different nonprofit organization. Every day during that month, or they might want to volunteer, and we can help them do both these things. In addition, each month we'll usually feature at least one interview with a representative of the organization. This might be an interview with a director, or with other members of the organization, or with volunteers who work there, or it might be a testimonial from someone who's benefited from the organization's services. These interviews will air on this program, Local Talk, our signature program. So right there, it's a wonderful opportunity to get the word out.
So who are we going to feature first?
It's Heartland Senior Services, a wonderful service organization which won a major grant in 2012 from the Story County Community Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Where they described what they were using the grant money for.
Right. Yes, these grants from Story County Community Foundation are always awarded for very specific things, items that people need usually. And we can hear more about what Heartland Senior Services used their grant for.
We have Liz Beck from Heartland Senior Services to tell us a little bit about the activities from the previous major grant last year.
Thank you, Chuck. It's a pleasure to be up here. It's a pleasure to address all of you. Heartland was the recipient of the major grant last year. Nutrition has always been one of our primary services of Heartland. We serve both congregate meals in 7 sites around the county, as well as deliver meals to individuals' homes outside the city limits of Ames. Last year, we served 23,500 congregate meals and 22,000 meals to individuals in their homes. I want you to know that we could not have done that without loyal support of our volunteers who do these home deliveries to individuals. Almost all of the congregate and home delivered meals assistant cook and 2 kitchen workers, all of whom are part-time. That's 45,000 meals being prepared by part-time staff 5 days a week, 351 days a year. The Story County Community Foundation grant allowed Heartland to purchase and install what is known as a combi oven. This oven is a pretty amazing piece of technology. So you can all ask for this oven for Christmas. Here it is. The combi oven is essentially a cooking center in one piece of equipment. It features the ability to cook by steam heat or dry heat or a combination of both. Because of its computer memory, it can store recipes, allowing cooks to have at their fingertips the settings for the cook and hold, overnight roasting, baking, sautéing, braising, and steaming. Essentially, anything you would do on a range The ability to add some humidity to the cavity of the oven through the steam feature allows meat to be cooked with a crispy outside and a juicy inside. Fried foods do not need to be cooked in grease. With this oven, the process is a saver for us and allows us to batch cook closer to the point of service than ever before. Because of this, we can work to the future of being able to prepare more meals more efficiently for the seniors in Story County. And at the end of the day, this oven cleans itself. How many of us put this on our Christmas list, okay? because you can just put it in there and it just does it. It's an amazing piece of technology, and it's all because you were willing to give us the start we needed to get it done. So all in all, that new oven will have and continue to have a significant impact on the nutrition program at Heartland. We are now able to be responsive to the opportunities that arise. For example, in less than 10 days, Mary feed program. And the interesting thing is that the director of that program noted that some of those children learn to eat fish one bite at a time. The combi oven has enhanced our ability to prepare food more efficiently, thus saving some overhead costs. But more importantly, we can prepare food more safely, which in today's world and the world of the Department of Inspections is very important. Significantly different than the older segment of seniors. While I doubt that liver and onions will go away soon, because 60 people still show up for our monthly liver and onions meals, I do know what I call baked crispy chicken and soup and sandwiches could become regular offerings. But the real impact of the combi oven is what we do is in the story of Eleanor. Eleanor just began home delivered meals. Eleanor is getting home-delivered meals 5 days a week from Heartland and will probably receive 21 to 23 meals a month. Eleanor's story is typical of many of those who utilize our nutrition department. We know hunger and food security affects all ages of our county residents. So Heartland, Senior Services, and the people we serve in our nutrition program are so very grateful for the support of the Story County Community Foundation and what you gave us in helping to update and enhance our nutrition program. Thank you.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with my co-host, Kay Potok, and we're introducing a new program segment that we'll be planning to feature on a regular basis here on KHOI. We're calling it the Community Service Appreciation Program.
And today, our organization that we're featuring is Heartland Senior Services.
So this is our way of introducing the organization that we're going to feature this month, show appreciation for. And then throughout the month, there will be regular public service announcements on KHOI and possibly a few more interviews to raise awareness about this program.
Yes, I've also got an interview with the person that's in charge of their outreach program at Heartland for later in the month, so that will be very interesting too. Today, our organization that we're featuring is Heartland Senior Services. I did I'm Kay Potter, and I'm here with Jan Williams and Mary Cameron to talk about Heartland Senior Services as part of our Community Service Appreciation Program. Welcome. I'm so glad you could both come.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, why don't you start, Jan, and just tell us about the services that Heartland
services and programming for older adults throughout the county. Those programs and one is congregate meals. And then our fourth program would be our outreach and resources. Are provided to primarily those older adults that are over the age of 60 throughout the county. And I think there are people who just aren't aware of the services that we provide. And we have been providing for nearly 40 years.
And about how many people would you say take part or use your services?
Right. So we provide statistics to United So that last year we provided services to just over 2,000 seniors throughout the county, 2,000. And so when you look at the fact that Story County is comprised of about 90,000 people, of which nearly of just over 2,000 seniors in one capacity or another of those four program areas.
Now, I'm having a little bit of trouble distinguishing between, say, the adult daycare and what you call activities.
Sure. And we know that seniors thrive on remaining social and active, and having an active lifestyle, and that wellness component is very important to living longer. And so the activities piece would be such options as bingo, country and jazz jams, for example, playing bridge, doing exercise classes. Mm-hmm. Depending on the day of the week, we offer different which I'll remind our listeners that we're the only day center in Story County. Our adult day center has the capacity to serve 30 we call them participants per day, of which they have their own activities in the adult day center. So at our main center at 205 South Walnut, that's where our largest activity room, or what we call a multi-purpose room, is located. People can come and they can join in an activity. But if you are slated to receive services in our adult day center, you will have your personalized over there. I say our adult day center is like a preschool, if you will, a breakfast snack, you do an activity, you get fed lunch, you do an afternoon activity. Some people nap in the afternoons, they require a little more sleep. Then their family member, they come and they pick them up. That a lot of our caregivers still are working. And so your family member may either live with you or near you, but as the caregiver, you're still working. So we are a place for your family member, your neighbor, your loved one to come while you are still working during the day.
Is there somewhere for them to nap too, for the adults to nap?
Oh, certainly. Certainly.
That must take a lot of space.
Well, you bring up an interesting point. So our facility, we actually have the space for 30 participants per day. We have regulations of space. We only have the ability to serve 30 people per day. So again, we're having conversations right now about what are the needs throughout Story County. And once we identify not only our current needs, but we're looking at projecting needs in the future. So the next 2 to 5 years, the next 5 to 10 years, we know that seniors are living longer. And so when that's the case, we need to make sure that we're ready to face those challenges with the space that we have.
The other activities, those are sort of on a drop-in basis, are they, or how does that work?
Right. So our listeners can go to heartlandseniorservices.com, and they can actually click on each program area. So you're going to click on the activities tab, and you're going to see a listing of all the activities that are taking place the month of December. So you can plan ahead. You can plan accordingly. If you only want to come to an exercise class that's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you can look at that schedule and you can see what's available. The same would be true for any of the days of the month. You can look at that and you can plan accordingly.
Now, it's interesting talking about exercise. What kind of exercises do you have for people that are, say,
mats? Maybe they have some exercise bands, but many times we have video that's going, and we have a group of people who basically follow the instruction of the video. So that's one example. We also offer Tai Chi. Uh-huh.
Yes, that's meant to be very good for
both beginning and intermediate. Yeah, you're exactly right. So it's very stimulating. It's very relaxing.
Good for balance.
Good for balance, which is very important for older adults. So the Tai Chi is another. And then, over in the adult day center, then they would. Activity-related exercises, depending on the situation that you're in.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that the congregate center is on South Walnut, did you say?
Oh, that's correct. So
you've got two sites.
Yes. So as part of our nutrition program, we actually have three congregate meal sites in Ames. Our main meal site is located at 205 South Walnut. We serve every day. A reservation, for example, the day before you're planning to attend. Mm-hmm. Now, the 205 South Walnut address is one location. We also serve meals at the Stonehaven apartment complex, and our third location is up north.
Where is that, the Stonehaven?
The Stonehaven is just south of 205 South Walnut, about two blocks on Stonehaven Drive.
Okay.
And then up. Dolls Grocery Store. So we actually have three meal sites in Ames, and then we have four other congregate meal sites throughout Story County. That includes Story City, Huxley, Colo, and Nevada.
Oh.
So again, I want to emphasize that we do serve older adults throughout Story County. So, and I think one of the misperceptions is that we only serve the community of Ames, which is not the case. So the nutrition piece, those congregate meal pieces, are the fact that we do serve, you know, somebody, you know, if, for example, you live in Nevada, we do serve the meals in Nevada. Now, the other piece to nutrition are the home-delivered meals. So we know that there are a lot of older adults that might live alone, they might be isolated, they might have transportation challenges. When that's the case, we actually deliver home-delivered meals. The same meal that we cook or that we prepare for the congregate meal sites then get delivered to persons' homes throughout Story County.
So that would be like what in some communities they call meals on wheels?
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct. We call them.
And that is every day?
That's correct. And actually, we say that we deliver 365 days out of the year because we plan according to the weather as well. So we rely on volunteers heavily to help us deliver our meals. If we know that there is imminent bad weather, we will actually deliver two meals the day before.
To bring Mary into the conversation here, because you are a volunteer, I believe. And you help particularly with meals, and so does your husband.
Yeah, my husband and I volunteer in two areas at Heartland Senior Services. We in the northern part of Story County in the Gilbert area. I know that there's also routes available in Colfax and Colo and Maxwell. Mm-hmm. And there certainly is a need for that for volunteers to deliver those meals. It's not hard at all. I also participate in the Friendly Visitor Program, which is an outreach program. And I visit a person who's pretty much shut in her own home. She doesn't drive. She doesn't get out on her own. And she has no family in the area. So I visit her once a week, and one of the things she really likes to do is she likes to go out to coffee. So we go out to coffee once a week, and I visit with her. And basically, it's not only to visit with her and water heater blew up, and luckily I was there that day, and I could help her call assistance to get her water heater fixed, and she could continue to have water in her home. So that's a really great program. I think that Heartland Senior Services is Story County and Ames' best kept secret. I don't think enough people know. And more than one of the activities. For instance, the person that I visit through the Friendly Visitor Program, She participates in outreach, she participates in adult daycare, and she also gets home-delivered meals. So she participates in a number of the programs at Heartland.
Now, we haven't said much about outreach, have we?
We haven't yet. So Mary brings up a good point. Our outreach program is such that we like to say that we're a resource for people to go to or to call when they need some assistance. The Friendly Visitor Program that Mary references, that is such where we can pair up volunteers with older adults who are living alone in their homes. They don't get out much. For whatever reason, they need that companionship. Mm-hmm. And so we have volunteers who are willing to be what we call a friendly visitor. And more times than not, what we find out is once we become a friendly visitor, we then identify other needs that they might have in which we can help them with. Now, if they have other needs, if they have needs where we need to reach out to a social worker or that kind of thing, we are a resource. So it's very reassuring, or it should be reassuring to our listeners to know that this friendly and they don't know who to call.
Right.
And so our outreach program is such where we do go all throughout the county, and we have a small staff of 3 people who identify these older and make these checks on these older adults.
And it sounds as if you also liaison with other agencies that will
That's a very good point. So we do collaborate with other agencies in town. It becomes a point where they may have to move or they need to if we can be that conduit or that resource to get them to that next stage. Program exists and that we do offer this.
It sounds excellent.
And really, and the home delivered meals really is a bridge to that communication too, because like when my husband delivers those home delivered meals, he actually checks on the people that are home also that he delivers to. Mm-hmm. So there's another opportunity for them to have someone checking on them on a regular basis.
That's right. So our friendly visitors, they really are the boots on the ground people who then can come back to us, and then we are identifying additional needs. Mm-hmm. And so like Mary says, one opportunity could circulate into one of our other program areas, which is exactly what we want, because our goal and our objective is to make sure that seniors are living that lifestyle that they need at this stage of their life.
Now, we're almost out of time. So to end with, just tell people where they can contact you and where volunteers can contact you.
Certainly. I would encourage listeners to stop in and see us at 205 South Walnut. We are on the east side of the Hobby Lobby area or the East Hy-Vee area if people need that visual in Ames. They can call us at 233-2906.
233-2906.
Yes. They can go to our website at heartlandseniorservices.com, and they can see all of our program areas there as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in central Iowa. I'm Kay Puttock, one of your hosts for today, with Ursula Rutenberg, and we've been introducing a new program segment that we'll be planning to feature on a regular basis. We call it the Community Service Appreciation Program. And today we've been featuring Heartland Senior Services,
which we will be featuring throughout the month in the form of some interviews and public service announcements. And then next month we'll be featuring another service organization here in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kay. This is a wonderful program. And thank you for coming in to tell us about it. And we'll look forward to hearing about the different organizations in the future. And thank you for doing this.
Be fun to introduce them to our listeners.
Okay.
today, Ursula Rudenberg, along with Kay Patak. And in a moment, we'll be joined by KHOI reporter Greta Anderson, who will be speaking with a young philanthropist from Des Moines, who with his wife has set up a nonprofit out of their basement, selling beautiful scarves made by former slaves in Ethiopia. Stay tuned for that. Also, in our studio today, we have a guest, Wendy Herrick, who will be telling the story together with Greta. While we're getting set up for that, we have a this upcoming Saturday evening in the Ames City Auditorium. The Ames, the Central Iowa love of music. The piece we're going to play now is arranged by Leroy Anderson, and it's entitled Song of the Bells, and they will be performing this this weekend as well. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host today, Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here with a number of people. Kay Patak is here, and Greta Anderson, and Wendy Herrick. And in the first part of the show, we heard reporting by Kay Patak about Heartland Senior Services in Ames. And now we're joined by Greta Anderson, KHOI reporter, who has set up an interview with a young philanthropist in Des Moines. Good morning, Greta.
Hi, Ursula.
It's a foggy morning, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I had to drive a little slower than usual on the road.
Yeah, you come in from a rural area around Nevada, right?
Yeah.
How was it?
Oh, like I said, it was... Okay, well, we will be talking shortly with Josiah Carter, who has founded the nonprofit Beza Threads. That's B-E-Z-A Threads, for those who like to visualize their words. And I also have with me a friend of mine from the yoga studio where I heard about Beza Threads. I have Wendy Herrick here. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Sued the organization that had been mentioned in the brief newsletter item that I saw. These scarves are made by ex-slaves in Ethiopia. Evidently, child slavery is a big problem in Ethiopia. And so Josiah was a college student at Drake University. I think he took a summer off to work at an orphanage. Across an organization that was local, an Ethiopian organization that was working there. And long story short, Josiah and his bride started selling the scarves that this local organization teaches the freed slaves how to make. Wendy, would you like to add anything about what you know about Josiah and his organization?
What I know is their own business. And so they make these scarves and hopefully to so I think that Josiah saw the incredible heinous lifestyle that these poor children had and just began to go back with more money. And when he graduated Drake, he went back with some more money, bought some more scarves. And I think they sell out right away. Last year when I went on their website to buy them, there were hardly any left. I bought up everything I could.
And now you're going to get a box load for this.
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
Okay, well, let's get Josiah on the line so we can find out more about this and see
hey,
if he's...
Greta.
Hi, Josiah.
In a small orphanage in the capital city that's roughly 7 million people. And some of my my college friends that were there with me were working with this organization that was sweatshop district. And just seeing that and hearing those stories just broke my heart. It changed my mindset forever.
Wow.
I knew that... you know, orphans were an issue there. I never realized that sex trafficking and slavery was an issue there. So when my friends brought back their stories each evening from their work, that's really what started to challenge. The kind of long story is that somebody invited me and said, hey, do you want to come to Ethiopia with me? And at the same time, I was applying for an internship. And I got turned down for the internship, so I said, hey, what else do I have to do? So I went that summer and spent the summer in Ethiopia.
One door, open another.
Yeah, absolutely. And the funny story is I ended up getting a job with that company in the long run, so it all worked out for the better.
Wendy, did you have a question?
Yes, Josiah, I have a question. I've gone to your website and I've heard the stories of the girls, and I'm really interested in the boys.
It's almost an entire district of these small little sweatshops where a slave owner will have anywhere from 5 to 10 boys that he owns, per se. And what happens, each year we graduate a group of teenagers from our program. So when we go to rescue the new program, we go into that district, kind of undercover, build relationships with these different boys in the evenings or on their one day off a week. And then when the time comes, we convince them to run away from their slave owners.
Wow.
And if we have issues there, we bring in the local authorities, and they fully back our partner organization. So anytime it becomes kind of a challenging or threatening situation, we have the backing of the local police. So then we just pull them out and provide them the job training that they need.
Wow, wow, that's just amazing.
It is, yeah.
Bless you.
So isn't slavery just illegal? I mean, if it's illegal, couldn't the police just go in and free them by fiat?
Yeah, so the challenge is there's already thousands of street children, orphans, just on the street itself. So the government only supports our partner organization for the capacity they have. So I think the overall concern is if they go in and they rescue every street child, every slave then becomes a street child. So it's kind of this balance of the government doesn't know what to do. Is it better to have them be slaves or is it better to have them be street children? No easy solution to that. And so what they've done right now is up the slaves so that we can rescue and rehabilitate them.
Is there a reason why
it's a third world country and it's economics and one of the big mecca for the entire country, so everybody goes to this city to get a job. What happens is the entire southern part of the country sends their children to go get jobs in the city to send money back. But what happens is they get to the city and there's no jobs. Or they get to the city and they and so that's what causes this huge issue of people that are unemployed and become street people and street children. And that in turn ends up people end up finding themselves trapped into slavery. They get conned into becoming slaves.
I see.
And of course the children come and they probably don't have any money. And from what I read on your website, they also speak a different dialect.
The other really frustrating issue is that you have these guys from the city, they're called recruiters. They'll go down to the southern countryside. They'll find these poor families that are farmers that can barely make them an education. And I'll even pay you for some of your troubles. And any money that I spend on them for their education, I'll just recuperate, once they get a great job. But these recruiters take these kids back to the city, and they sell them. They sell them to the local slave owners, just like what you
problem, but it's also distributing beautiful scarves to people around Iowa and the United States. Did you bring back any scarves from your first visit?
My very first visit, I didn't bring any scarves back from me with me. But I got back, and I was just really challenged by the issue, and then also that there's this organization doing something. So my senior year of college, some friends and I ordered 40 scarves. We set up a little stand on our campus. maybe long term we could do something. And then that led to my second trip that actually started our organization. I'd just been married not too long, and she actually was leading one of the trips over there. So I went with her, and we took $1,000, and we sat down with the director and said, hey, tell us about everything you're doing. And then we left with $1,000 worth of scarves and started something. We didn't have a name. We didn't have anywhere to present. We didn't even have a price of what we were going to sell the scarves back for. We just figured we could do something with them.
And my understanding is Beza means redemption.
Yeah, so there's two kind of aspects to it. One is the idea of redemption. So not only are we pulling the people out of slavery, but we're also taking them a step further to giving them job training. So it's not just fixing the wrongs, but it's giving them more hope for the future. The other cool story is that one of the girls that was rescued out of the prostitution district, she was pregnant from one of her pimps, and her baby that she had, the baby's name was Beza. And the entire organization raised this baby as their own. So it's just this beautiful story of what redemption really means.
Wow. And you quickly jumped from $1,000 worth of wholesale scarves to how much?
Well, not including the sales that we've done the last couple of weeks, the last 3 years we've raised over $125,000. And then in the last 2 weeks we've raised another $20,000. So close to $150,000 in the last 4 years.
May I ask, how do you get these scarves at this point in time?
So I try to get over there every year to kind of view the manufacturing process and pick out what colors we like, and then they ship them to us. Scarves that show up to my post office box, and then we have
And you send them out to people who are going to have scarf parties like Wendy here?
Yeah, so we not only do we sell online, but one of the goals that we have is to provide a way for people to wear a party but with scarves. You can invite your friends over to your house for a wine and cheese party, and we'll provide you the materials and the scarves and the information to kind of throw your own little philanthropy event.
That's really neat.
Yeah, and so we're planning on having one on Saturday, December 14th. Ignite Yoga is having their second anniversary celebration. So we thought it would be a great time, lots of people flowing in and out, to showcase the scarves, tell the story. And I'm really hoping and thinking that we're going to get a great response, Josiah.
We're excited.
I think you guys must have been so overwhelmed. You had the story on network news where I had seen it, and I went online to buy scarves, and there were a whole lot. And then I thought, well, I better figure out how many I'm going to buy. And the next morning, there were hardly any left, and I bought everything that you had. So I'm really hoping we're going to get a great response at Ignite Yoga.
Great. We're excited.
And you mentioned the manufacturing process. I just wanted to add before we have to say goodbye that to our show and possibly catching the scarf fever like Wendy has.
Well, great, Greta. We appreciate you so much for having us on today.
And we just hope that AIMS, we can spread the Beza thread. We appreciate all you do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. My name is Ursula Rudenberg, and you've been listening to a phone interview with Josiah Carter from the Beza Threads organization in Des Moines, and he was interviewed by Greta Anderson and Wendy Herrick. And thank you, Wendy and Greta, for a really how a few people can really make a difference.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's just a great pleasure to be on community radio where we can find these stories and pursue them and share them to a larger audience.
It really is. While you were doing the interview, I was watching the whole team here, and there's at least six people here sitting. They're running the machines or, you know, doing the interview, and it's a really beautiful thing to watch.
Ursula couldn't hear the other half of that conversation, so she was just seeing our responses.
I was watching it.
Anyway, well, speaking of people who are making a difference, we have Kay here to remind us about her upcoming program. I guess it's ongoing.
Appreciation program, and it's showcasing the different organizations
and describe what you'll be doing throughout the month with Heartland.
We'll be doing PS apparently find it a lot of fun, much more fun than sitting at home. And they do a lot of movement. They have fun, apparently. And, of course, there's the food program, delivering home-delivered meals, and there's congregate sites where they can eat. Lots of services that they offer.
Okay, thank you. So today you presented an interview with the director.
With the director and with a volunteer who helps, she and her husband help with the meal service.
And then throughout the month, you'll be airing public service announcements on KHOI for Heartland and maybe introducing another one or two interviews throughout the month.
And you have the lady who's in charge of the daycare, so she'll be talking.
KHOI is a service organization also, and so we are doing this in order to highlight our fellow organizations in our community and the services that are offered to the residents in this area and the work that's being done. So thank you. It's really, really a pleasure to do that.
Thank you.
Kay, you're also doing something else on KHOI. Listeners may know you best as the voice and the producer behind Creator's Calendar.
You're right, yes, that's a lot of fun. I enjoy that. German, very interesting man, a very unusual poet, and he's
Kay has been doing Creator's Calendar since we went on the air at KHOI, and it's been one of our mainstays.
Yeah, I think it's true to say I was one of the first local voices on the air.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I look forward to hearing that. The Creator's Calendar airs at 9:55 every day a.m. every weekday, and at 2:55 p.m. It's time to end local talk. And I've been your host today, Ursula Rudenberg, along with reporters Kay Patak and Greta Anderson. And we also spoke with Wendy Herrick and Josiah Carter. Josiah Carter was on the phone with Beza Threads, and we'll have links to their organization on the website under the Local Talk page. And our website is khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. You also heard a piece of music that will be played by the Central Iowa Symphony at their holiday concert on Saturday, and you can go to their website to buy tickets at cisymphony.org. That's cisymphony.org. Or just show up at the box office at the Ames City Auditorium on Saturday evening, and the concert starts at 7:30. Today's show was produced by Greta Anderson, Kay Patak, and myself, Ursula Rudenberg. Richard Morrison engineered the show. station, as well as a radio show. So we always welcome new reporters. And so if you're interested, call us at 292-2878, 292-2878, to set up an appointment, get started, or just come and visit us at the Ames Pantorium. By the way, these shows on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are usually live. The doors are open at 7 o'clock. Enjoy community radio, or just walk by the front of the window and wave to us because we're sitting in the storefront. We thank you for listening. Your participation as an audience is what makes KHOI possible, and as always, we thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting community radio. Please remember us at this time of year, at the end of the year, KHOI. Families or individuals who can donate $250, and that will create a solid foundation for KHOI to remain on the air. Thank you for listening, and as always, see you again on the radio.